This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Scott Condy. He is the president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association at Oakland Center in California. And Scott, it's been a busy few days for really everyone involved with the air traffic control system. Can you give us kind of a blow-by-blow of what happened starting Sunday when 10% fewer air traffic controllers showed up to work thanks to sequestration?
Well, sure. First of all, Russ, it's kind of difficult to know at any given moment in time, any different day or shift, you know, what that percentage is because of who is being furloughed on what days of the week. You have to remember this is a system, so the tower and the approach control and the center all work together to deliver those airplanes, and you never really know from day to day what those impacts are going to be given resources at any of those facilities. But in a nutshell, we have telecons for this geographic area every day, four times a day now, to update each of those facilities and each of those networks for core airports like San Francisco or Los Angeles, so that we can try to adjust and mitigate impacts to the staffing.
Okay, so is it random, or was there some method to determine who would take which days off?
It's not random, but each facility then implements those furloughs in the way that's best for their facility structure and the employees that are being impacted negatively. So when you lay the different plans over each other, you then have to plan for where there's holes in those plans. As I said, it's a network system, so everything has to work together. We depend on each part of the system to perform their required functions. Basically, my job at the center is to come to work each day and put together a three-dimensional jigsaw puzzle when the pieces are moving at a combined 1,000 miles an hour. This facility is typically short-staffed. When you shorten that even more due to politics from an act of Congress, it's like coming to work to do that with one of your hands tied behind your back.
Okay, well, give us some examples. Cite some of the ways in which this scenario has played out and essentially caused chaos in at least parts of the system.
Okay, well, you know, if you leave from San Francisco to, let's say, fly to Los Angeles today, you're going to depart San Francisco Airport, the tower is going to work that airplane. If they don't have sufficient people to open all of their positions, then there's going to be a delay before your airplane takes off. In a major metropolitan area, then you go to the approach control. Northern California approach control works all of Northern California. Again, the same scenario, they're responsible for spacing those airplanes to give them to the center. If they have insufficient staffing due to the furloughs or for whatever reason, then they now have to put delays on what the tower can give them so they have enough time to work those airplanes safely. Then it comes to Oakland Center. Oakland Center then has responsibilities to Los Angeles Center, which we give those airplanes to. Los Angeles will give them to Southern California TRACON, and then Southern California TRACON will give them to LAX. On a day like today, there are delays at LAX, but there's delays for a lot of reasons. They had an ILS down this morning, which is an equipment delay. If Southern California TRACON can't open one of their positions, then they can't do simultaneous approaches into LAX, and that cuts in half the number of airplanes you can actually put on the ground. Then Southern California TRACON will tell Los Angeles Center, we need more spacing for the LA arrivals. Los Angeles Center will tell Oakland Center, we need even more spacing for LA arrivals. So your flight into San Francisco might be impacted because the controller's complexity goes up for having to work airplanes to LA. So because it's a system, even though on this given day Oakland Center has the minimum people required to work airplanes at Oakland Center, San Francisco could see a delay because of Los Angeles.
Okay. So essentially, the impact is keeping airplanes farther apart so that they don't bash into each other, right?
Well, I mean, absolutely. Our job is to ensure the safety of the system, and that's going to happen first. Basically, the mandate for Congress, and we know that this is a unique and unusual circumstance where controllers are forced off the job by furloughs, but the impact from Congress is we're going to impact the efficiency of the system because we're not going to impact the safety of the system.
Okay. It's early days in this. Can the system adapt to having fewer employees, or is this what we're in for?
No, actually, it's early days, and what you're seeing right now is almost nothing. This is the literal tip of the iceberg, because you haven't got to summer travel with summer demands. Plus, you know, controllers have lives, and they'd like to be able to take a week off when their kids are off of school. So predominantly, the resources that work these airplanes take their summer vacations a week here or a week there. You're going to see lower staffing numbers because of that. We're past Easter and before summer, so typically this is the peak of staffing with a slight lull in traffic. As traffic builds and staffing declines, and you add furloughs on top of it, I expect that this will get much, much worse.
Okay, but I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, we're an adaptable species. Is there the ability to figure this out and make changes and become more efficient or become less demanding or whatever it takes to keep the traffic flowing with fewer people? Is that a possibility?
It's not. You are already operating a system that had many holes in it staffing-wise. Oakland Center is one of those. Our current staffing level was 20% below the minimum of our staffing range as it was. If you add another 10% on top of that, the phrase is you can't get blood from a stone. And we absolutely will ensure that the system maintains its safety and integrity, and that requires slowing down the volume of traffic and complexity of traffic that you're going to work. So you're not going to adapt to overcome that. It's akin to just, you know, cutting the power by half at a production factory. You could put, you know, all the other things you want there, but if you're only putting half as much power into it, you're only going to produce that number. And that is exactly the same with this system. It's so interdependent on each of its parts that any one part can affect all of them. Oakland Center is responsible for the entire Pacific Ocean. So if we have a day with critical staffing with our oceanic traffic, that's going to affect customers internationally as well.
Okay, well, a NATCA news release today said that the bizarre scenario of bringing controllers in on overtime while others are being furloughed is playing out. Is that happening in Oakland, and how much overtime is being paid?
We've had some holdover overtime now associated with it. Our shifts, where we start seeing that, will happen, as I said, within probably 2 or 3 weeks here once we start seeing leave pick up and fatigue. You're going to see people working a lot more airplanes for a lot longer hours. Typically, airplanes are, you know, in and on the ground, and the push is over for San Francisco by about 10:45, 11 o'clock, and now we're working until 2 o'clock in the morning because things are so much more drawn out. So you have people on overtime covering for that, but it's an unfortunate byproduct to put people on overtime while others are not being paid.
Well, it's interesting nonetheless. So we'll be following this, Scott. We appreciate your time today. It's Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.